This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and yay, today we are live in the Zoomer studios. So great to be back here. And today we have a show devoted to the art of organization. Later on, we'll be joined by Mona Wasserman, who is the founder and chief residential archaeologist of Castle Content Sales. Mona helps people with downsizing, relocating, and estate sales. But first, today on the program, we have Stephanie Hagani, owner of Neat and Tidy with Stephanie. Even that title sounds so great. Where spring cleaning is definitely in the air. Before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Stephanie, as mentioned, is the owner and founder of Neat and Tidy with Stephanie. She's also the proud mom of three wonderful children and the wife of an amazing husband. And Stephanie has spent the past 20 years as an elementary school teacher, but she always felt drawn to organization. That pull grew even stronger over the past few years, especially during the chaos of COVID, yes, when she discovered just how much joy and calm organizing brought to her own life. It was then that she knew it was time to begin her professional organizing journey. Stephanie is passionate about helping others take control of their clutter and fall in love with their homes again. How lovely. She creates practical, sustainable, and beautiful solutions that help clients reclaim their space and restore a sense of order and calm so they can spend more time doing the things they love with the people they love. Stephanie Hagani, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know that being organized, without a question, is definitely a pathway to finding your bliss. But sometimes it's so overwhelming, you just don't know where to begin. What exactly do you do for your clients, and how do you know where to begin?
Sure, great question. So you're right that it is definitely overwhelming for a lot of people. I think there are people that are just, everyone is so busy, they're working, they have families, there's so much going on, and they feel overwhelmed, which is why they often call me. So what I try to do is take the overwhelm away from them. I always say that I try to do all the heavy lifting for them. So when clients call me, I come in, we've already chatted about what spaces we're working on, and we really go through everything. So we pull everything out, we sort and categorize everything, and really the only things that I need the client to do are to make decisions about what stays and what goes, and we're always there to offer guidance and help them to make it easier for them. So, you know, in terms of where to begin, it's really either the spaces that are causing them the most stress, their pain points. Sometimes that is, you know, the living area. You walk into your home, it's what you see, it's where you spend most of your time. For some people, like, it's the closet. It's where they start their day. They're looking at their closet and they feel overwhelmed. So that's really an individual thing. I do try to help guide clients in terms of where to start. And for me, it's never overwhelming. I've seen so many spaces like this. And I, when I see the space, I have the end in mind. So I know how it will end up. So I feel like I can go in, you know, no emotional attachment to anything, and really help them out to ease the stress and the overwhelm for them.
That's so awesome. You've also said that clutter is about so much more than just stuff. It's about time and energy and mental load. Can you say more about that?
Absolutely. I think for women especially, they are carrying so much. Like I said, so many of my clients are working and they have families and their spouses and friends and daughters and have so much going on. The mental load, and I, you know, I try to, with my own husband who is very supportive, but try to make it clear for him all the things we're doing kind of behind the scenes. There's just so much going on. And when you, you know, come home from a long day, you want to have some time with your family or on your own to relax, and you're coming into a home that is cluttered. I know from my own experience, it just feels overwhelming. It's not a place to relax. And I want to lift that for people so that their homes are really their sanctuaries. It's the place where they, you know, come home and they can relax and unwind and not feel stressed, where they already have all of that in the rest of their lives. I want, you know, I want the home to be the place where they can just really unwind and relax. And a lot of that is your physical environment as well.
Have you trained your own family to be neat and tidy?
Yes. And, you know, I have three kids. It is a work in progress. Yes. So it is constant training. I mean, I think my kids are really good at, you know, being able to tidy up after themselves. And part of that is that everything has a home. So everything has a place it is supposed yes. to go. So even if, you know, they come home and they drop their things, we know at the end of the night, you know, when I, you know, I like to put things kind of on the stairs, on the way upstairs for them to take, and they know where it goes. But, you know, they're kids. It's real life. They need reminders. Thankfully, my husband is, you know, maybe not as organized as me, but very organized. And I would say the little compromise we have, because I wanted to get him to file fold his clothes, which is like a Marie Kondo thing. He doesn't love it, but he does it. And so he does have a basket that his clothes go into. And every so often he'll throw them in and say, can you fold my clothes? I'm like, yes, I will happily do that. But you know, they know that, you know, our home needs to be, you know, it needs to function well. It needs to look organized. It's just the way we live. And so I think a lot of that is also, you know, teaching them by example. So,
of course.
You know, when I'm putting away my things, they're just learning those skills. And obviously some is explicit and some is implicit.
Sure. You definitely feel lighter and better, though, when you're organized. There's no question that it's blissful. An organizer once told me a great place to start is put like with like. Put all your pens together, pencils together, elastics together, scissors together. Some of you realize you have 10 scissors, pairs of scissors in the house, or whatever it is. But all of your things together. Are there any other basic tips that you could share with our listeners just about great, simple ways that are not overwhelming, that are just chill?
For sure. So I would say a couple of things. Number one is, you know, for people wanting to get started on their own and not feel overwhelmed, put a timer on. Put on a 15-20 minute timer. Right. You know, at the end of the day or in the morning, whatever is the best time for them, just put on that timer and do, you know, what you can do. Surfaces are a great place to start as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have countertops and we drop things on them, often by the front door, you come into your home, that's what you're seeing. Just start with surfaces. But a 15-20 minute timer is a really great place to start. Another thing is to have, well, for kids, I would say having a too small bin in everyone's closet.
Oh.
So as they are outgrowing their clothes, when they're little, you can throw things in. And as they get older, you know, they can take that upon themselves. So it's not up to, you know, the mom or the dad to kind of go through everything all at once. And another thing is, you know, decide each day 5 to 10 items they're going to declutter. There's so many things in our homes we're holding on to and we're not using. Half the things we probably don't even know are still there. You know, get a basket, walk around your house, grab 10 things, drop yes. it in the basket, and, you know, and then donate it or recycle garbage, whatever it might be.
Okay, asking for a friend. What if you know someone or are married to someone just asking for a friend?
Yeah.
Who really is a collector. Let's say that nice word, a collector of everything, and finds it very hard to part with anything, and it grows and it grows. Where do you start with someone that doesn't have the time so, yeah. or the real motivation or interest to deal with it? But it's like,
So I do get asked this a lot. If there is someone else in your home who maybe doesn't have the same organizing goals as you, and for some people, those things don't bother them, mm-hmm. It is challenging to work on it. So I would say start with your own stuff first. The hope and the goal is that someone else is seeing your space that looks decluttered and going, oh, maybe I want some of that, you know, offering to help. But I do find someone who's really not ready to part with things, you can't force it. You can't mm-hmm. do it until they're ready. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there are common areas in the home, then maybe you need to set some boundaries about it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, here's your bin or your drawers or, you know, your area where right. you can put stuff and shove things in the closet.
Yes.
But, you know, when you walk into like your family room, your living room, you want, you know,
yeah.
again, surfaces to be clear. And offering to help them too. Like,
yes.
if, you know, not saying you need to clean up your
Let's
know,
do
closet.
It together.
Yeah, like, can
like
I help
a Mary
you?
Poppins activity.
Exactly.
You know?
Make it fun. Right. Put on your favorite music. But yeah. help them because it can be really overwhelming.
Yes.
And I would say, because this is what I do with my clients all the time, start with whatever is the easiest. So things mm-hmm. that have no emotional attachment. You know, if it's clothing, what's the stuff that's like worn and tattered, you know, mismatched mm-hmm. socks, like whatever
right.
is really easy that they
too
can
big,
easily
too
part
small.
With.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I just redid my closets and it's such a blissful feeling and a calm feeling to be able to find what you're looking for. Do you believe in the adage, if you don't buy something new unless you get rid of one or two old things?
Absolutely. It is my absolute favorite rule. It's the one in, one out rule. And I use it in my house all the time. And I like to think of it as a bookshelf. So you have a bookshelf, and it is for books. And when you get books, it goes on the bookshelf. It doesn't go on a desk or a tabletop or whatever. And when the bookshelf is full and you want a new book, then you either have to swap out another one.
Yes.
You can't get it. And, you know, we can go to the library. We can do other things. But,
right.
But, yeah, I just think if it doesn't go where it's supposed to, if it doesn't fit, so, you know, you buy clothes for your closet and it's very full, then it ends up being clutter. Now I have to find somewhere else for it to go. And you're either then, you know, starting clutter, or you are, taking away space in your home.
Right. There's a whole psychological component, though, here, too. You say sometimes we hold on to items and letting go frees up so much mental energy. Can you elaborate? And have you ever dealt with a hoarder, like somebody who really mentally can't let go of stuff and it's affecting their life and their well-being?
Absolutely. So I will say this. I think the term hoarder is used often. And I always say to people, I do not care how much stuff you have. That does not scare me at all. I can help you if you are willing to part with things. For people that really are hoarders, that really have some issues, some emotional attachment, but, you know, something deeper than that, I am just not the right person for them, because they need something more than I can offer.
Yes.
And I don't ever want to go in to help somebody out knowing they're not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of for somebody else.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, no matter how much stuff you have, I can help you out. I'm very transparent with my clients, and I say, I'm not a very sentimental person in that I don't find I have so many items that I have so much emotional attachment to, I can't part with them. But that said, I understand many people are not like that. And, you know, I sort of want to get to the root of, you know, I guess there's a little bit of psychology in it, why they're holding on to things. For some people, it's guilt. For a lot of people, it's guilt.
Yes.
And for some people, of course, there's memories attached to things. And I try to give them little tips, you know, like, take a picture of that item.
Yes.
You have the memory of it and you can part with it and you get your space back.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I do try to give them lots of tips along the way. And I give them a gentle nudge, but ultimately, you know, it's up to a client what they decide to part with. I don't make anyone get rid of anything. That's totally up to them.
Awesome. You also suggest, you really do have fabulous tips and ideas, and your Instagram is fantastic. We're going to tell people how they can get connected to that at the end of the show. You also suggest something so empowering, which is when things don't have a home, that's how they turn into clutter, and how important it is to create systems so that everything actually has a place. Can you tell us more about systems, what they are, and how to create them?
Absolutely. So systems are really, again, part of it is finding a home for things, but it's, you know, when you walk in the front door, where does your jacket go? Where does your bag go? Where do your, you know, in winter in Canada, we've got hats and mitts and boots everywhere. And I find entryways are really difficult for people. So having a system of knowing where things go, where do I find it? So you're not searching for a missing glove in the morning.
Yes.
When we talked before about gathering like items together, that's sort of starting it, right? That you know, okay, I'm going to get my boots from here and here and here and here and find a spot in the closet. It might mean off-season items, especially for people that are, have some space limitations, go somewhere else, not maybe in a front hall closet. So starting that way. And then any good system for me needs a label at the end.
Nice.
That's all about maintenance. That's about knowing at the end, you know, when we're tidying it, where do things go? And I always say, I want the label so that everyone in the household is responsible for knowing where things go, not just, you know, often the woman.
The person that's doing it.
Who's the knower of all
the
things.
The Stephanie of the household. So we asked our listeners and our readers and people on Instagram to reach out to us. And we got quite a bunch of questions, actually. And here's a question from Janet. And she asked, how do you help people let go of shared items, a favorite dinner plate or a cozy knitted throw blanket, without it turning into guilt or grief during a separation or divorce? Like, if you're helping people, I don't know if you've done this, who have to separate their items. How do you deal with all of that?
So truthfully, I haven't worked with anyone who's in the middle of that. I've had clients that, are kind of at the beginning parts of that. And I can think of one client in particular, and she had said, so I guess, you know, in terms of whose it is, I think that's probably for, you know, the couple to figure out. That's,
yes.
I wouldn't want to put my nose in there. But right. I did have a client who wanted her spouse's stuff out of there. And she had asked me, can you box it all and do that? So,
right.
you know, there was a lot
unemotional.
Of, yeah, there was a lot of emotion attached to it for her. So I just wanted to make it easy for her. Absolutely, I can do that. And then, you know, for other things, again, just helping them through the process, having somebody there to hold their hand, I think really helps.
Totally.
For a lot of people, just in general, you know, sometimes going through difficult life things, just want someone there to help guide them.
It's comforting. It's just comfort psychologically to know
absolutely.
That there's someone with them in the rowboat. They're not alone in the rowboat,
absolutely.
As it were. A question that relates to all of us is, do you have any tips for people once they've done the organizing and done the decluttering on how they can maintain it? It's like losing weight and keeping it off, right?
Absolutely. So I would say a daily, preferable, but if not a weekly reset. So for me, at the end of the day, I want my counters cleared. I want to put everything away. You know, again, there's other people in your home. They're putting things down. So either, you know, nightly or weekly reset. Once you have systems set up and you have decluttered, which is key, and gotten organized, it's really just about putting things back. And if you leave it for too long, that's where, you know, things creep back in. But if you're just doing it, you know, often, again, daily or weekly, it's not overwhelming. It's so easy. And because you have systems, you know where everything goes.
Totally.
So it's just quick and easy.
Your eyes light up when you talk about this. It's so wonderful. What do you love about what you do, Stephanie?
Thank you for saying that. I really do. This is something I could talk about forever. Right? It's probably one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I love the feeling that people get afterwards. I think when people reach out to me, I hear a lot of things. They are overwhelmed. It's often causing conflict, maybe in a marital relationship or in their home with their kids. They're nagging their kids and yelling at them all the time. And they just, you know, need some peace. And I want to help them get there. And the other thing is, a lot of people feel a lot of shame around their homes. Like, I don't want to have friends over. I don't want to have my family over. I'm so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And even when they call me and they go see their homes, I let them know, I am not judging you. Mm-hmm. You know, really, I'm not there to look and make any judgments. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help. But the feeling afterwards, it's like a weight has been lifted.
Wow.
And, you know, I remember one client in particular who had a ton of beautiful plants in her home. And she just loved that. But there was so much clutter that when you walked in, you weren't seeing that. You were seeing the clutter. And mm-hmm. I said to her, I want the plants to be the thing people notice when they come in. So when you clear all the other stuff, you can really show off the things you love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some people, that's art. It's plants. It's family pictures. Whatever it is, when you walk into your home, you want to see those things because it brings them joy. And when, you know, they're happy, I'm happy.
Do you take before and afters? Do you sort of do the before when it's really cluttered and then the after?
I do. Unless, you know, for some people, again, and there's a lot of shame associated with that. And if they are not comfortable with that, I do have them consent to before and after pictures. Then I don't. But otherwise, I try to. And for some people, you know, initially they say, I don't want to. And then afterwards, they're so happy with the end result that, you know, they're like, it doesn't matter. And I let people know, which is true. Most people are living just like them. Mm-hmm. Most people have so much clutter. Maybe it's not, you know, when you first walk in the home, but it's there.
It's there, hidden and sometimes.
Absolutely.
So there's the perennial drawer, right? We all have it. Some of us have more than one. And that's a hard thing to tackle. Where do you start with that drawer? We all know that
for
drawer.
Sure. Right? I love a junk drawer. It is one of my favorite things. And you know what? Even those drawers, there's so many common things. Like a typical junk drawer, which most people have, it's pens, it's batteries, notes, elastic bands. Like, there's just so many things. So again, like with everything else, I pull everything out. Mm-hmm. We clean it out. We clean it off, sort through. Okay, what do we need? What do we not need? Some of that stuff, they're like, oh, I forgot that was there. It's junk. It's garbage. I personally like to have the little clear organizers in there.
Mm.
So again, everything has a home. The elastic bands go here. The batteries, the pens, the pencils, the things you want to grab at a moment's notice are there, and you know where to find them, and there's no digging. And the befores and afters of those are amazing.
Well, So I have to tell you, I was so impressed with your drawer. I did a little research into your drawers, and you have a drawer full of teeth, your baby's teeth. Most of us have just the first child's tooth, and the second one is somewhere, and you have it all categorized in Ziplocs and baggies, and it's so fabulous. Can you just tell us briefly about that?
Absolutely. So that was a recent story I shared on my Instagram. Actually, I would say this was the thing that was, you know, it did have a home, but it was something that I was holding on to for no reason other than I just never got around to doing anything with it. And so, you know, that was a little bit of sharing, you know, even, you know, people often ask me or say to me, oh, your house must be perfect. Well, it's not. Again, three kids, it is definitely not perfect. I have a drawer full of teeth that now is no longer.
Wow.
But when my kids lost their teeth, you know, the tooth fairy came in, grabbed all the teeth, and I had them all together. And, you know, once I went through it, I just, again, decided, do I need this? No, I had no emotional attachment, but I loved hearing from other people the stories of what people did with their kids' teeth.
What's the craziest thing you heard?
The craziest thing was someone had it like gold plated or something, and the mother wore it on a pendant around her neck.
Wow.
Which
okay.
was crazy. And I love that. And I had actually a former client reach out to me and said, I'm just in the throes of that now. Help me share the answers I want to know. So I would say get rid of them all. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep anything, maybe the first tooth of each child.
Yes.
But for me, really, there's no need for
let it go. Take a picture and let it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course I'm going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Stephanie Hagani?
Okay, well, other than, of course, a, you know, a rainbow color-coded closet or bookshelf, I would say really for me it is my family. It is, you know, the quiet times. Life is so busy. Being a small business owner, it is very busy. Having time with my kids and my family is wonderful. And I love puzzling. It's actually something that started during COVID, but for me, on a Saturday morning, to wake up with a cup of coffee and work on a puzzle is like my happy place. Yeah,
fantastic. I think I'm going to be calling you, Stephanie. I think we have some things I might need some help with. What is the best way for people to connect with you and contact you on social media?
The best way is on Instagram. I'm there all the time. It's at Neat and Tidy with Stephanie, just the way it sounds, STEPHANIE.
Awesome.
And that's the way to find me.
I want to thank you so much for being here today. It's been absolutely delightful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll meet Mona Wasserman of Castle Content Sales. We'll be right back after this short break. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Find Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm joined now by Mona Wasserman. And before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. I just found out she had a radio show in Ottawa years ago. That was cool. Mona Wasserman is the founder and chief residential archaeologist of Castle Content Sales, a highly sought-after content and estate sale company in Toronto known for maximizing values from items that clients no longer need. With decades of experience in content sales, estate sales, and liquidation, Mona brings expertise, care, and integrity to every project. And Castle Content Sales is fully insured and committed to just going that extra mile to ensure that each sale is a great success. Mona supports clients through major life transitions, including downsizing, moving to retirement communities, or settling the estate of a loved one. When a sale isn't feasible, she and her team also provide complete residential and commercial clean-out services. That sounds amazing. Castle Content Sales offers free consultations with no upfront fees, and it works on a commission basis paid directly from the proceeds of the sale. Mona's career in content and estate sales began in Ottawa, where she ran a consignment shop and hosted sales primarily for the diplomatic community. After moving to Toronto, she went on to co-own a commercial liquidation company for many years, and at the request of family and friends, Mona returned to working closely with residential clients, offering a wide range of personalized services tailored to each individual's needs. Helping people has always been Mona's passion. She's supported by a dedicated, like-minded team that truly loves what they do, and it shows in every thoughtfully curated sale. Mona, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. Great to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Mona, first of all, what I realized last night at a Friday night dinner was that you helped our family, and you did a tremendous job with a very intense sale of my in-laws, their home that they had lived in for many years, and you really helped all the children and their spouses deal with all of it. And it can feel overwhelming. I said the same thing to Stephanie at the beginning. Is that a big part of it at the beginning, is just, oh boy, this feels like a lot. Where do we start?
Well, for me personally, it's not overwhelming. For the families, it's unbelievably overwhelming, whether it's emotional, whether, as you said, if someone's passed away, if it's their own things, but they're still attached, even if they're leaving the country.
Yes.
People still have an emotional attachment because they've purchased it, whether somebody has given it to them, somebody has bequeathed pieces to them.
Yes.
All those things carry memories, and our memories, as you know, core memories, they don't leave. They stay with us forever. So yes, it's very emotional, but it's, for me personally, people will apologize and say things like, oh, I have so much stuff, I'm sorry. You don't have to apologize. This is a lifetime
yes.
of collecting, or not even collecting, but just acquiring items.
Mm-hmm. What do you do exactly, Mona, to help people downsize, relocate, and settle estates? Like, where do you start?
Well, we, as you mentioned, we do a no-fee consult. We do a walkthrough with the homeowner mm-hmm. or the trustee. It might be an estate trustee. We see everything that there is for sale, and we decide what's sellable. And there are certain things that may not be, whether something is terribly damaged, mm-hmm. whether it's maybe had smoke damage or fire damage, then, of course, that's nothing that we can handle.
Right.
But otherwise, everything is possible to sell.
Wow. So just to help our listeners understand, what exactly is a content sale? And can you also describe what an estate sale is? And so both of these types of sales, and paint us a picture of what each of them looks like exactly.
Well, the difference really between an estate sale and a content sale is usually an estate sale, people have passed away. So we're working in a home where there's no living owners anymore. So right. we're dealing with estate trustees, we're dealing with a real estate agent, or we're dealing with a family member. Mm-hmm. Content sales are with people who are still around. They could still be living in the house, and they're either, I mean, we do work with luxury homes, so they can be very large, and people have to edit the house because they're going to put it on the market, but their real estate agent has told them, you've got too much stuff. Mm-hmm. So we get called in and we basically edit the house. Sometimes we sell those items, and sometimes we might edit the house, put those items in a garage or in a storage unit. They sell their house, and when the house is sold, those things come back to the house, and then we sell the contents.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. We talked about the emotional aspect of this for most people. And I remember, you know, even for me, acquiring some of the things from my in-laws, it's very emotional to even see these things, but in a good way for me, is it makes me feel happy when I see a painting or see something from my in-laws, because it reminds me of them, right? It's beautiful. But what are the benefits of having you there to help people through it?
Well, as you said, of course, it can be very emotional. People are sometimes fragile. Sometimes people are, what's a good word? Emotional. They are sad. Even though something fantastic is happening to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have helped people transition to moving to Spain, let's say, or they've got a job. We just moved two radiologists last year who moved to Santa Monica.
Wow.
Now, we sold all their contents because A, they found out how much it was going to cost to move everything, and it was astronomical. And then they also decided, once they'd been there a few times, that their furniture from Toronto didn't necessarily fit in a Santa Monica home.
Mm-hmm.
Open, airy, lighter, different.
Yes.
Different, you
different
know,
vibe.
Different vibe, completely. So there's so many reasons why people sell their items. And again, it can be emotional, but a happy emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be very, very sad. It depends.
So do you find that you're also a bit of a therapist, as it were, for people when you're working with them? And how does that look?
You have put the nail on the head. I mean, I have sat with people and cried with them.
Wow.
I have hugged people when they were just, you know, so emotional because we're even in there just prepping, not even selling the things yet.
Wow.
And it's very, very tough, as you say. I mean, people will take the few things that are very momentous to them,
mm-hmm.
or their kids and grandkids come in and they take, you know, a couple of things that really reminds them of their grandparents or their parents.
Yes.
But the actual trauma, I would say, that people go through, even though they want to sell the house or they have to sell the property, it is very difficult. It's very personal. As I say, every piece has a memory.
Mm-hmm.
You remember your grandfather putting his cigar in that beautiful crystal ashtray,
right.
Or you remember your grandmother, that's her favorite pot, and that came out every, you know, Friday night for dinner. Or these things have memory, and the core memories, they stick with people, whether you're 6 years old or 80. And again, I have sat with people when they cried. I have hugged people. I have held their hands. I have... You become therapist and psychiatrist and psychologist, all of that, you know, it's part of our service. That's what I do, and I like to help people.
Do you feel it's mostly listening? Like, are there any other techniques that you use? I'm a coach, so I find this so interesting, to help people through all of this. Listening, of course, and hugging helps, but any other tips?
Well, I try to explain that, you know, if it's, say, your grandparents or parents' home, they would be thrilled to know that other people are going to love something that they cherished or they loved.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to keep it yourself, and oftentimes you're not going to keep a whole contents of a home, those pieces, I really think, and I believe this with my whole heart,
mm-hmm.
that people would be comforted to know that a new family or a new person
yes.
is going to love that piece of art or that beautiful statue or a beautiful piece of furniture that you loved and you cherished.
Yes.
But somebody else gets to enjoy it for another 50 years.
Totally. Unless it all going, you know, just going to nowhere. Like it has a play, it has a purpose, it has a future life. I can really understand that. You say you specialize in luxury content sales and intriguing estate sales. So what do you mean exactly by that? It does sound very intriguing.
Well, we're very fussy about the properties that we do handle. We do single-family dwellings only.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We do not do apartments, condos, or townhomes. I leave that for other people.
Wow.
It's just a logistical thing for us. And single-family dwellings, we usually do homes 4,000 square feet and up. We've done homes up to 18,000 and 20,000 square feet. Believe it or not, we have a few of those around Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So we work mainly in Toronto and the surrounding areas, but Castle Content Sales, that is our niche. Luxury properties is what we do. Estate sales and content sales, as we mentioned, are a little different. Estate sales are when people have passed away. Content sales, excuse me, can be for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is, I guess, the luxury feature.
Mm-hmm.
People that I deal with do not want people coming through their home.
Right.
Whether they're living or not, the people that handle these estates. Luxury properties, we do a white glove service.
Mm.
We are online when we have our sales.
Nice.
They are very quick. They start on a Friday. They end on a Sunday.
Hmm.
But that's 24 hours because it's online.
Nice. So you're not like stretching it out, which would be very difficult for people.
No, it doesn't work. And I believe people forget.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just not as urgent, kind
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm.
So the sales that we do, the quality of the homes that we do, and sometimes we do very funky. I have one coming up in Rosedale. It's just a very funky, it's an estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting things. These people collected things. So you've got an era, or eras rather, from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all different kinds of interesting things.
Like Art Deco and fun sort of...
All different kinds. Yeah. I mean, you just never know. This is also the beauty of my job. We never know. Until I walk into a home, people can tell me things on the phone when they call, right? Or when they email about a home. But you can imagine the excitement that I feel. It's like opening up a box of candy. Every time I enter the threshold of someone's home, it's so different.
You don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know.
And life is like a box of chocolates.
I was just going to say that. Forrest Gump, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Every home, people's tastes are so different.
Yes.
The eras, I mean, not everybody goes out and buys things the same day. So people collect things from, you know, even a modern home. And we do a content sales. We do a lot of very contemporary homes. Again, people can be transferred to another city. They can be getting sadly divorced. Somebody maybe passed away. Mm-hmm. Downsizing, of course, is a big one. A lot of my clients who live in big homes are moving to a condo. They have other properties, perhaps.
Yes. I would think our audience has faced some of this, right? Our Zoomer audience downsizing from a home to an apartment or
very
to a retirement
common.
Home, that this is a very common thing. What originally attracted you to doing this? Because your eyes really do light up when you talk about it.
Well, I actually started this particular business. I had a friend many years ago. I've been in this business. It's 10 and a half years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary last May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I had a friend many years ago before I started this business that had Parkinson's, and she had a huge home, but because of her shaking, she couldn't handle. They were downsizing to a condo. They had china and crystal and art and so many things, and she just asked me as a favor, can you help me? You know, I've got to get rid of all this stuff.
Yes.
Can you help me sell it all or do something with it? So I did, and that worked out really well. Surprised me because I wasn't in that business at all at that time.
Yes.
Then a friend of hers found out about what I did. She was also downsizing. It sort of blossomed from there. And then an estate trustee, I believe, found out through somebody that they knew, and he called me. And then it just boomeranged. And then I built the website, and then people found out. And now, really, we get known and contacted mostly by referrals, by the high-end real estate agents in the city.
Wow.
Still estate trustees, banks, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Build it and they will come, especially when it starts from a place of passion. Am I right, Mona?
I believe so.
When you love it and you're interested and passionate about it, and you build it, they will come. I've seen it. I see it so many times on this show.
And my crew and I, we actually love what we do. And I've been blessed because I have the same people working for me and with me for years.
Wow.
Our crew hasn't changed. Wow. I use the same movers that I've used for years. People come, they know them.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to get your same movers because I trust them. I know them.
Awesome.
And again, the fact that Castle Content Sales... It's different because, you see, we don't have anybody come into the house, and people love that aspect. The fact that people buy everything online.
Mm-hmm. Great. You're protected in a way. Like, you don't have to.
100%.
It's such a smart, smart thing. I also love the name. Did you call it because my home is my castle? Like, why Castle?
Everyone's home is their castle.
Yes, absolutely.
That is right.
It's so fantastic. It's really great. So this online store, what I love about that is that you, first of all, you're able to reach far beyond the local market to people all over the world.
Well, it's interesting. On my computer, when my sales go live, I have a program that I can see where everybody's looking at the emails. Not who they are, but where they are. And I can see people from Australia to the Philippines to South Africa to Greece, because people are away either on vacation or on business, and they're getting my emails.
Yes.
Now, people can buy online when the sale goes live. Say your husband's on a trip in Athens and he goes, oh, I want to buy that whatever, that sofa. He can call his wife or he can call my movers directly. And during the few days of pickups, boom, he gets what he wants. And he doesn't have to be here.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic.
I mean,
people have really, you know, during COVID, people have really come to love the online shopping. And so things that we never thought would sell online, I mean, we sell everything.
Wow.
Everything.
I love it.
You know?
I'm going to ask you about some very exciting objects and some cool vintage things. When we come back, we're going to go on a short commercial break. Back with more from Mona Wasserman, Castle Content Sales. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, and I'm here again with Mona Wasserman, Castle Content Sales. It's fascinating stuff. Even in the break, we were talking about sometimes people are leaving home and they say, sell everything. And you open up these closets and you can't believe what you find. What do you mean?
Well, as I was starting to say, that we're dealing right now with a house that elderly people passed away. The kids, and I say their children, they're in their 70s. Yeah. Have hired us. Now, they've taken what they wanted. Their kids have taken what they wanted. But still, how much can you take? They all have full homes. By the time you get to be that age, you're not living in an empty little apartment. Mm-hmm. You have a home. You have it's furnished. You know, so sure, they take a couple of mementos, but there's so much more left. Yes. It's either not their taste or they have no, they'll say, oh, it's beautiful. I love it. I have no room.
Yes.
So when we open a cupboard or a closet, sometimes we just shake our head and think, they didn't want this. But then I have to remember, they have full homes. They've led full lives.
Right.
They've already got everything they need. If they wanted it, they would have taken it.
Yes.
So, we can find all kinds of crazy, interesting things. You just never know. I mean, I just found a beautiful old vintage Mahjong set, you know, with the beautiful Bakelite
Have you sold
tiles.
It?
Yes, I'm sorry. But we do come across them once in a while. If you're looking for one, I'll let you know next
Please.
Time I get
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'd love that.
They're so much nicer in the old. They're sort of that caramel color Bakelite. Mm. They're really, really nice when they really made real leather cases for them. And then I'm doing a house in a couple of months. This lady has she showed me. Now, she also must be around 70. I'm not sure. I'm not that great with ages, but I'm guessing around there. Her father, when she was 5, because she took dance classes, bought her a bottle of alcohol. It's an alcohol bottle.
Wow.
Clear in a triangle shape, hollow in the middle with a ballerina. It's a music box.
Oh.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
That's
I'm not selling it. She's keeping it. But she just wanted to show it to me. She's had it for 65 years. Never been opened the alcohol bottle. I've never seen anything like it. But just weird, wonderful things. We did a house in Forest Hill that had the most magnificent ladies' vanity table from the 1800s. Still with all the silver capped, all the bottles that would have held all the potions, and the beautiful brush and comb sets.
I can picture it.
And the panels, they opened, they swung open. These big drawers, and it had all kinds of hidden compartments. It had keys and underneath and inside and all these hidden compartments. It was fantastic. Plus, the ladies' dressing room was about 30 feet long because house was 9,000 square feet and they had renovated it, and she made this massive walk-in closet. It was an estate sale. So that piece was, I mean, obviously, it hasn't left my memory, so it was pretty impressive.
Wow. That's incredible.
But you just never know.
You never know.
Never know.
And speaking of secondhand, I know that your customers love the incredible array of items that you sell, the ease of shopping online with easy pickup or delivery. Would you also say that secondhand items are becoming a really cool way for people to shop for originality, where they can not only save money, but also be eco-conscious and be kind to our planet?
100%. I mean, resale has become absolutely the way to shop.
Yes.
I don't know of any place else that you can find things that are original, one of a kind. I mean, we sell pieces, as I was just mentioning. You couldn't find anything like that. You'd have to go to England and probably spend $60,000 and then ship it back over here. I mean, these things just, we see things one of a kind, and something maybe that you wanted when you were younger, you couldn't afford then.
Yes.
But now, and we sell items for a fraction of retail. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a house that has these fantastic Italian mid-century lamps.
Mm.
I mean, resale even, they're not inexpensive, but new, they were phenomenally expensive. So, you know, for maybe $1,000, $1,200, you're getting a lamp that's worth $4,000 or $5,000.
We talked about our family. Heather Liebreck, of course, is a designer, but is also her daughter, Dawn, is the owner of Rewind Couture, which is a high-end vintage clothing shop that's doing remarkably well. Jeannie Becker always says one of the best-kept secrets, not a secret anymore,
no,
in Toronto. She writes about it all the time. Rewind, it's an amazing store. And do you find gowns? Do you find, like, fabulous furs and
All the time.
Is that included
all the
in
time.
One of these? Wow.
Absolutely.
Was there anything that you found in that area that you just went, wow, this is, would you?
Yeah. I'm doing a sale coming up next month. She has a beautiful Saga mink coat, which she has never worn. Now, I come from a long line of furriers. If anyone's from Ottawa, Wasserman Furs was in business for 50, 60 years.
Wow.
The Saga mink coat is stunning. It's the finest quality black mink you can get. And it is light as a feather, and it's just spectacular. But we sell furs all the time. People do have them, and we do sell them. But it's just jewelry, art, crystal, china, rugs. The sale I'm doing very soon, 2 weeks, have beautiful Persian silk carpets. Mm. Silk Persian carpets, very expensive.
Wow.
Of course, when we sell them, not that expensive.
Not that expensive.
Not like retail. I mean, we like to say we sell things for a fraction of retail.
What about Tiffany lamps?
Sometimes.
Dolls?
Yes, we have. So I've done people that had collections like 30, 40 dolls.
Oh, my gosh.
All kinds of things.
That
I mean, everything from Lalique, Versace, you name it. And we do houses with just designer items.
That's so cool.
Again, all different.
Do you find that you're also gaining a younger following? I feel that vintage shopping is becoming so popular amongst millennials and Gen Zers. Is there a market for those younger people to acquire some of these fabulous things?
Definitely. You're spot on because people have, you know, I think the younger crowd started with clothing.
Yes.
Because that became very popular. But now they're all getting their first apartments and their first homes and they're thinking, I can get a brand new looking or almost new sofa from Castle Content Sales, or I can buy a beautiful carpet, or I can buy a kitchen set, or I have a beautiful live edge table coming up made by the Mennonites in St. Jacob's.
Wow.
Absolutely stunning. Now, this lady lives in a house by herself, no kids, no husband. It is like it came from their showroom.
The showroom.
And she's downsizing out of a big house.
Wow.
So, I mean, the things that they can pick up are, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, there's everything from lights to lamps to appliances. Lots of small appliances, very popular. Sets of dishes. We sell beautiful sets of china. I know everybody loves to run to IKEA maybe to buy china, but it's not really fine china and it doesn't last.
That's right.
The items that we sell, quality. Quality lasts. I'm using my same china that I've had, fine bone china, for 30 years.
Of course.
It has a very thin gold line around the outside, and I've been told 100 times, you can't put that
in the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher.
Right, right.
I've been putting it in the dishwasher for 30 years, and it's still, because it's so well made, because it's such fine bone china, it has not damaged it one bit. I tell people, don't store your beautiful things. Use them.
Yes.
Use them and enjoy them.
Don't put
them in a box. Don't put them in storage. Live with them.
Enjoy them.
You deserve it.
Absolutely. You know, you talked about this a little bit before, that it feels good to have items continue their journey in another home for years to come. Do you have any favorite stories from either the sellers or the buyers about how these items have impacted them?
Well, lots of people have things from their grandparents.
Yes.
And their parents, which they cherish.
Yes.
And sometimes I get to hear the stories. Mm. And some of the stories are heartbreaking, and some of the stories are just heartwarming. It's incredible.
Share a story with us.
Oh, gosh. a lady had her dad's medals, all his war medals.
Wow.
And obviously we weren't going to sell them, but, you know, we sat down and she told me the story about how he acquired them and what he did. And I get to hear people's true thoughts about things and they feel very comfortable with me and they open up. It's just, it's very special.
That's incredible. My producer wanted me to ask you if you've ever had a Picasso or a fabulous piece of art show up in your content and estate sales, like something you just go, oh my God, this painting is serious.
We have had some really expensive, really beautiful art. I haven't had a Picasso oil painting, but I have had lithographs Picasso. And right now we have a very famous artist, which I can't mention because it's just being authenticated, but a very expensive piece of art that we may be selling. So,
How do you advertise what you do? Is this mostly through your Instagram and your Facebook? And how do you let people know that this happens?
Good question. So my sales are all listed on my website, all my upcoming sales. You can see the exterior of the house and I put a little sound bite so you sort of get an idea, a taste of what's coming up. As you said, we're also on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn and Twitter.
That's amazing. And do you photograph everything yourself or do you have a specific
photography? No, I do all the photography.
With an iPhone?
I do.
Wow. That is very, very cool. Okay. I've seen this the whole time that I've been sitting with you, that your eyes are lit up with animation. What do you love the most about what you do?
I think the fact that I feel very accomplished when we go in, we start a job, it seems overwhelming because there is so much to do, so many items to take care of. But when the job is finished and everything is sold, it is such a degree of satisfaction. My clients are happy. The people that got beautiful new things or useful things. I mean, not everything, you know, we can't call everything beautiful. Some things are just useful or, you know, handy. But everybody's gotten something, saved money, saved the planet. You know, we're reintroducing these things to new people. So it's just a compilation of all those things that makes me feel good. And if my clients are happy, I'm happy.
I love that. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show. Of course, we're going to ask it to you. And I you might have already answered it. I don't know. But what is bliss for Mona Wasserman?
I would have to say a very quiet Sunday with no sales. And just to be able to cook, to be able to spend time in the kitchen, to be able to read and relax.
What's your favorite recipe?
Oh, I just made something fantastic. It's a Korean dish called jobu durum, something like that. Anyone that's close? It is made with tofu and a delicious sauce that's sort of a salty sweet sauce. Anyway, it's delicious, and I have some waiting for me at home.
Are you a reader? Do you love to read?
I do, but I don't have a lot of time. You know, when I'm busy, I am really busy. I think people think that these sales are like, oof, I can just get one off in a couple of days. And I'll tell you that when I get busy, I have no time because it's between going to see the homes, prepping the homes, doing all the inputting for the sale, having my IT team, you know, we build a store.
Yes.
Well, I don't, they do. My IT team builds a store for every single client, but there's so much prep behind the scenes. Yes. And then we're on to the next sale. So I really don't have a lot of time to read anymore.
Wow. What is the best way for people to contact you, Mona, connect with you on social media? I'm a believer now. I want to go online and see all of this. How do we do that?
Well, they can either give me a message through Instagram. They can Facebook me. They can write an email. Or the old-fashioned way, they can actually pick up the phone.
I love that.
And call me.
It's funny.
Or text me.
I have a team. All of our team are in their 20s. And as you know, I'm, you know, in my 30s. Just kidding. Much older. Much older. And I always say there's nothing like the old-fashioned phone call, right? Sometimes when you want to say something in 20 seconds and really communicate, instead of all the texting and the emailing, just the old-fashioned phone call.
I'm a phone girl.
Does the job. I want to thank you so much, Mona, for how you helped our family, but also for being on the show today. You're just doing tremendous work, and it's been delightful to have you here.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Judy.
Each week, we spotlight fabulous people like Mona Wasserman and Stephanie Hagani, who are living their bliss. So if you are a person like that, or an author, or thought leader, an artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. And we also, as you know, I love to have singer-songwriters and musicians on this show. So if you're a singer, please reach out to us. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us, fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you find your passion and purpose like Mona has found and Stephanie has found. And all you have to do is reach out to me on Instagram. You can DM me at the Bliss Minute or go to findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would like to thank our wonderful guests, Mona Wasserman and Stephanie Hagani, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Chelsea Lockstead, associate producer Lori Quinn, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, and as well, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez. There's lots of names. Audio producer Faz Kazi, wonderful Adrian Enns, wonderful Owen here, everyone here at Zoomer, and a big, big thank you to our Shutterbee photographer and videographer, Jessica Pimentel. Mwah! We love you, and we love when you're here. Also, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and I'm wishing you all a wonderful weekend and lots of bliss. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.